Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for another fun and fur-filled hour of Fervently Speaking, hosted by pet lifestyle and industry expert, top dog Eileen Proctor. Nationally renowned as America's Canine Connections Coach, the top dog has a knack of sniffing out and sharing information about products, services, activities, and news that improve the quality of life for pets and the people who love them. All in an inimitably entertaining style. Whether it's dogs, cats, critters, you name it, the top dog has really got her paws on the pulse of America's pet-loving society. It's time to sit, stay, and pick up your ears for Fervently Speaking, and your host, top dog, Eileen Proctor.
And woof woof to everybody out there. It is Wednesday, and that means hump day. And you know what happens on hump day? It's Fervently Speaking Day on the Boomer and the Babe station on Blog Talk Radio. So glad to have you listening in today. We are going to have a very interesting conversation, probably talking to myself a lot, but I'm speaking at you guys. No guests. We're going to be talking all about Halloween, and it's going to be all about the fun and safety tips that we have to make sure that your tail wagging tots have a great time celebrating this rather unique holiday with us. Did you know that according to the American Pet Product Association, in 2010, nearly 3 million dog owners bought their pets a Halloween costume? Yeah, that's not even counting the ones who made them themselves. And according to Modern Dog Magazine, yes, I actually do read that, people are spending more on their pets' costumes this year than their own and more than their kids. That's right. A $59 average for the pet's costume versus $48 for their own and $32 for their kids. Gosh, I'm going to tell you about what my canine kids are going to be masquerading as this year, and their costumes didn't cost more than about $10, so we're going to be talking about that as well. And believe it or not, there's a company out there called California Costumes. They make all sorts of costumes for humans and pets, and this year one of their best sellers is a Katy Perry costume for dogs. Katy Perry. So Halloween is a huge holiday, not just for the two-leggeds, but for the four-leggeds as well. Lots of interesting events that go on. Did you hear that in New York City, they just had last weekend their 21st annual Tompkins Square Park Dog Halloween Parade? 21st annual. This year they had over 500 dogs and their owners attend. And there were so many very interesting costumes. You could probably look it up online. The pictures are all over the place, but I'll give you some of the highlights. One of the pictures shows a dog dressed as Charlie Sheen. That's right, a bowling shirt with the word winning printed on it, and two scantily clad Barbie dolls attached to his back. The Charlie Sheen dog. I would say that person is definitely a entertainment fan. I saw a Dachshund who was dressed as a Slinky dog. Now you would say, well, so what? The Slinky dog was a dachshund. Well, the Slinky dog dachshund actually had wire wrapped around his belly and a separate wire around his tail, so you could almost hear him go boing, boing when he was strutting down the Tompkins Square Park. There were many Lady Gaga dogs. Yeah, there was a Lady Gaga in a bubble dress. There was a Lady Gaga in a meat dress. And there was a Lady Gaga in a very flimsy bustier, a red one, red lace bustier. Looked better in that than I think I would look in one. So Lady Gaga, big theme. Not surprisingly, Donald Trump made an appearance. There was a rather strange-looking dog who was Donald Trump. He was being wheeled around in a wagon with lots of skyscrapers made out of, I guess, cardboard around him. And he was distinguished with a very, very bad comb-over, the Donald Trump dog. I saw dogs that were dressed in boxes that looked like QR codes, iPods, and iPhones. And one of the cutest ones I saw was a lobster dog. This was a white, kind of a Maltese-looking dog. He was dyed red, and he was being carried in a pot by his owner, and there were fake lobster claws coming out the top, so it looked like he was the lobster. That was pretty darn cute. But the winner was a corgi who was dressed as a New York City MTA bus. Yeah, that corgi won best of costume, but obviously got stuck in traffic because was not there at the end of the parade to say thank you for its prize. But, yep, we got buses and Charlie Sheens and Lady Gaga's aplenty. I don't know. Are you planning on dressing your pet up for Halloween? I want to talk with you about a few tips that are going to make sure that if you do that, your dog isn't ready to bite the hand that feeds it. Before I talk about that, though, I want to make sure that I send out the call to all ghosts, witches, and superheroes in the Phoenix, Arizona area. You're all invited to come to my doggone fun and fur-filled Halloween party. That's right. I'm hosting a Halloween party at the Villa La Paz Training Center, also known as Club Paz, on Sunday, October 30th, between 4 and 8 p.m., it's going to be a safe indoor and outdoor trick-or-treating for two-leggeds and four-leggeds alike. We're going to have games, prizes, costume contests. We're going to have raffles, professional photographer to capture all the fun and goofiness. It's at the Villa La Paz Training Center on the northwest corner of 32nd Street and Shea in Phoenix. Dogs must be social, up to date on their shots and on a leash at all times, but dogs and kids under 5 come in for free. Kids 6 to 12, only $5, and adults, $10 for adults. We will have all sorts of treats for you to bring into your goodie bag, so come costumed, whether you're a human or a canine. Come on by, have a great time, and if you mention that you listen to Fervently Speaking and the Top Dog sent you, you'll get $2 off every adult admission. Again, it's Top Dog Eileen Proctor's first annual Halloween party on Sunday, October 30th, between 4 and 8 at the Villa La Paz Training Center in Phoenix, Arizona. For additional information, you can give me a call at 602-867-3647, or you can go to the website ferventlyspeaking.com, and of course that's F-U-R, ferventlyspeaking.com. Scroll to the bottom of the page and click on the little graphic for Halloween. I'm looking forward to seeing all of you on Sunday. So let's talk about some of Top Dog's top tips for a fun and safe Halloween for your four-legged friends, because, you know, it's easy to get caught up and all the merriment that's stirred up by this holiday. But, you know, what's really meant to be festively ghoulish for us humans far too often becomes inadvertently cruelish for our pets. I mean, I want you to think about it. The commotion of the constantly ringing doorbells and the unknown visitors in masks and costumes, the endless trail of all those tasty, tempting tidbits and those startling and unfamiliar costumes, it's really enough to make a grown dog cry and cower in the corner. So I don't want you to fear not. I don't want you to be upset about that, though, because we do have lots of ways to overcome Rover's reticence and his reactions. We can curtail them by keeping some simple tips in mind, and we're going to be talking about that for the rest of the show. So first and foremost, let's talk about the treats. I really need you to recognize that human treats are not meant for animals. You've got to keep the holiday confections, especially the ones that are high in sugar or that contain chocolate, out of the paws of your pooch. Chocolate contains a substance called theobromine, and if ingested even in small quantities, it can cause gastric upset, pancreatic distress, even more dire results could wind up having seizures or even fatal results. So you want to make sure that you keep the chocolate away from your pets. Ditto for those pesky wrappers that get caught up in their throats or intestines. And we've got to make sure that we throw those out somewhere that they can't get their mouths on them. But that doesn't mean that your beloved Bow Wow has to feel left out, because you can splurge on a supply of seasonally prepared treats that are available at your local dog bakeries or boutiques. Or if you don't feel like going shopping, I'm going to share with you right now some incredibly easy treats that you can make and give to your pets. Let's talk about what's the best stuff to give your pet. It's the time of the season for pumpkin, obviously, and fresh pumpkin is a great source of fiber, and the rind makes a great doggy chew, as long as it's not rotten or starting to go moldy. So what you really want to think about is giving your dog some pumpkin, because it's chock full of beta-carotene and antioxidants that are good for him all the year round. It doesn't have to be fresh. It could be canned pumpkin, pure canned pumpkin, not pumpkin pie mix. Add that to your dog's kibble, or mix it in with the treats that get stuffed into your dog's Kong. Canned pumpkin also has those digestive tract benefits of fresh pumpkin without the worry of mold. So canned pumpkin, just spoon it onto your dog's kibble or onto a dog biscuit, and he'll think that he's getting something really pretty special. There are a few other things that you can give them that have absolutely nothing to do with cooking, and I want to share some of those with you. I was speaking recently to Holly Pace. She's the owner of Happy Tails Barkery in Arizona, and she gave a few more suggestions that are great foods to feed to your fur babies. So she agrees that sweet potatoes and pumpkin are loaded with beta carotene and provide excellent assistance for eyesight and skin health. So if you don't have any pumpkin, try sweet potato. If you can get some flax seeds in, that would also be great. They're packed with omega-3s, and they're really good for the circulation, the skin, and the heart. So even flaxseed oil would be a wonderful thing to add into anything you're cooking for your dog. Olive oil is also great for the skin and coat, a natural antioxidant. Green beans. Green beans, my dogs love green beans, especially the frozen ones. They don't care for the canned ones that much. They're too salty and soggy. But frozen green beans make a great treat, and especially if you don't feed them to them all the time, they think that they've done something phenomenal because they're getting this new treat. They're crunchy and they're tasty. I give them the stubby kind, not the long julienne ones that, you know, kind of flop over. So other vegetables you could give your pet are broccoli. Broccoli is also great, excellent antioxidants as well, known to prevent cancer. By the way, you could share some of those green beans and broccoli with your pets. I'm sure that they wouldn't mind. They'll be good for you as well. Holly Pace of Happy Tails Barkery also wants to make sure that I tell you some of the things you should never give your dogs, and those include grapes and raisins, even grape juice, because they can cause kidney problems, and if eaten in large doses, could even potentially be fatal. We've already discussed that chocolate isn't good for them, but she suggests that you can substitute chocolate for carob chips. Carob chips are on the okay list. She wants you to keep away from walnuts and macadamia nuts. Those are two types of nuts that we're really not too thrilled about having our dogs eat. And if you are, in fact, going to feed other types of nuts to your dogs, make sure they're fully chopped up so they don't get stuck in their throats. And I don't think this really has to do with Halloween as much, because I don't know too many people who give out onions as a treat, but she wants to let everybody know that onions, especially raw onions, could lead to anemia, and we don't want them to have that. So thank you, Holly Pace, for contributing those ideas to the show today. And I want to add that apple slices, things like that, fresh fruit, are always good. Not the grapes, but apple slices. My dogs absolutely adore them. And those little baby carrots, you could chop up big carrots, but the little baby carrots are so easy to give as a snack. And my dogs munch them down The last treat that I like to give my pet, although you have to be careful that they don't break a tooth on it, is an ice cube. A plain old ordinary ice cube would be something that a pet might like. And in Phoenix, Arizona, it's still pretty warm out, so an ice cube may actually be their treat of choice. I've heard of some people that have created something that's like a Reese's peanut butter cup. Of course, again, we're no good with the chocolate, but it's a doggy peanut butter cup. And all you really have to do is to take peanut butter and push it into the Greenies pillow pockets that you can get at any type of a store, and the dog will kind of think it's having a Reese's Pieces. Go figure. You may want to take one of your dog's regular dog biscuits and spread a thin layer of peanut butter on it. You know, you probably already have a treat, and you probably already have peanut butter. So if you have them on hand, go right ahead and make up a special, special treat for them. I had the opportunity to be on the Morning Scramble this morning with Pat McMahon and his co-hosts, and I demonstrated a very easy-to-make dog biscuit recipe called Pumpkin Patch Dog Biscuits. And I'm going to give you that recipe right now. If you don't want to write it down, you can also go to my blog, which is thetopdogsblog.com. That recipe is there, and you can go and grab it. So these are pumpkin patch dog biscuits, and I have never met a dog who did not love this recipe. The cool thing about it is when you hear the ingredients, it makes your kitchen smell fabulous. And when they're baking, it's just a wonderful treat for you, low-calorie treat for you. And the last thing I'll tell you about that is you can actually have some of these. It's all human-grade treats. The only thing it doesn't have is a lot of sugar, which would be bad for your pet. So if you're getting really hungry and you're just in the mood for some kind of a snack, you know, just dip into your dog's pumpkin patch dog biscuit. So here we go. You're going to start out with 1.5 cups of whole wheat flour. Any brand, I'm not a brand snob here. You're going to have 4 tablespoons of butter-flavored shortening. I use Crisco because they've got the bars now. I don't have to buy a big tub of it, and they have the bars, and they've got tablespoons marked on it like a stick of butter. So you need 4 tablespoons of butter-flavored Crisco, 1 tablespoon of brown sugar, 1/2 teaspoon each of ground cinnamon and ground nutmeg, 1/2 cup of canned pumpkin, which is approximately 1/2 of a small can, the 15 or 16 ounce can, just do 1/2 a can, 1 egg, and 1/2 cup of buttermilk. That's it. You probably have a bunch of these items already in your house. So gather up those ingredients, preheat your oven to 400 degrees. And while that's heating up, you're going to combine all the dry ingredients together. That's going to be the wheat flour, the sugar, the cinnamon, and the nutmeg. And just mix it together and then cut in the shortening. Now, usually that means you need a pastry comb, but I don't have one of those, so I just use a potato smasher. It works just as well. What you're really just trying to do is to get the butter in, shortening in its hard form to kind of make little crumbly pieces with the flour and the rest of the dry ingredients. So you're cutting in the shortening, and then once that's all done, you're going to mix the egg with the milk and the pumpkin. I basically just throw it into the mixture. I don't even bother with another bowl. Why dirty it? And then combine it all together and just stir it for a little bit until the dough forms. It'll be nice and soft. It'll be pretty obvious when you're finished mixing it up. And all of that put together takes less than 5 minutes to do. Seriously, less than 5 minutes. Your dog is worth 5 minutes, isn't he or she? I know mine are. Then you're going to drop little tablespoons full onto an ungreased cookie sheet and bake for about 12 to 15 minutes. When you take them out, they're still going to be a little bit soft. You're going to want them to stay that way. Cool them before serving. You do not want to have your doggy's tongue singed while he's so excited about getting his treat. And you're going to store them in an airtight container. That'll keep them nice and moist for quite a few days. That recipe I just gave you will make about 3 to 4 dozen bite-sized treats. So that'll last you a while. You can even invite over some of your doggies' friends and, you know, have a little party. So those are pumpkin patch dog biscuits. Again, if you didn't get the entire recipe, you can go to the topdogsblog.com, and that is today's post, the post for that I put up this morning. They're very delicious. In fact, Pat McMahon and I had a couple on the air, and I got to tell you, he even said, and I quote, "Not bad." So for him, that's a rave. But if you're not in the mood to cook, say you're not in the mood to cook, and your doggy has a sweet tooth, you may want to try to make something that's called canine creamies. Canine creamies is kind of like the stuff you can buy in the supermarket, Frosty Paws, except it doesn't have a brand name. I just call them canine creamies. So this is super simple. You take 6 ounces of low-fat plain yogurt, 2 tablespoons of non-fat dry milk, 2 ounces of water, 1 tablespoon of honey, and then I want you to crumble up 2 to 3 flavored dog biscuits. Keep them to the side. Just crumble up those dog biscuits. Smash them with a hammer or something. Just break them all up. So you're going to blend all the ingredients except the dog biscuits together and pour that mixture into like the small plastic cups or ice cube trays. Those cups, you know, they're like, they look like little specimen cups, very itty-bitty. You can get them almost anywhere. But an ice cube tray is just as good. And then you're going to sprinkle the crumpled dog biscuits onto the top, cover them with plastic wrap or some kind of a lid, and put them in the freezer. And when you're ready to serve them to your dog, remove them from the container or the ice cube tray, and your dog will lap it up. Again, those are canine creamies for those of you who don't want to turn the oven on. And they are delicious. Again, all human ingredients. So if you really got a hankering for something to share with your dog, don't put the dog biscuits on the top. Feel free to just grab a couple of those on your own. And I've got a number of other recipes that I could share with you. And if time permits later, I'll certainly do that. If not, I will post them onto the Top Dogs blog later today, and you can go and take a look at them. So, like I've said, there's no reason for your dog not to enjoy the treats of the holiday as long as they are suitable. So I hope that that helped you. The next thing I want to talk with you about is costumes. And if you're planning to put a costume on your canine, and don't be going like you're not really going to want to, you know you want to, you want to strike that all-important balance between adorable and appropriate. And what I mean by that is you have to really be aware that you can't have any parts of the costume obstruct your dog's movement, hinder their breathing, block their eyes or their ears or their nose, or anything that entices chewing. There are a lot of costumes out there, commercial costumes that you could buy at the major stores, and they have items on them like little pom-poms. I dressed my little happy dog up this morning in a clown costume, and it had little pom-poms on them. But within the matter of, I would say, 10 minutes, they were coming loose. And if one of those would have dropped off, she could have tried to chew it up, and then that could have gotten stuck in her throat or her intestines, and we would not have had a very happy holiday at all. So my recommendation to you is when you are, just like when you are buying a toy for your dog, when you're buying a costume for your dog, you really need to make sure that there's nothing on it that the dog is going to be able to eat, or another dog is going to come over and grab off your dog's costume. You want to also ease your dog into the idea of wearing a costume, because most dogs don't dress up all year round. Well, maybe yours do, but mine don't. So you want to ease them into the idea by practicing the dressing process and all the activity that goes along with it, like if you're taking off their collar that they're used to wearing. You want to make sure that you ease them into it over the course of a few days prior to Halloween. While you're doing it, give them some encouraging words and extra treats. Make it a little bit more tolerable for them to go through this process. What I would say to you is that you could buy some of these costumes at stores like Goodwill or thrift shops, whether they're dog costumes or not. I dressed my dog Cassie up today in a costume that was a huge, like, clown bow tie, which I clipped onto her collar. I slid it on, and a big floppy hat, which I had some elastic firm but not tight elastic held onto her head. And I bought those both at a Goodwill store, and I think her entire costume cost maybe about $8.50, including tax. So you don't need to spend a lot of money to make your dog look adorable. But, again, she's going to be wearing it and then taking it off and wearing it and taking it off over the next few days so that when Halloween actually comes, she's in a much better position to be able to enjoy wearing the costume and not be shocked at the additional weight on her body or just the obstruction that she's just not used to having, like something sitting on her head. And you want to make sure that when you are looking at your dog, well, if Fido or Fluffy look or act miserable in their holiday costume, they probably are. So really, don't torture your dog. Take off the costume and give them a nice festive bandana instead. It really, you will have a much happier time if you're not constantly looking at your dog and seeing him or her mope around. I've had some people talk to me about this, and it's a really great idea. You can groom your dog into a costume. And what I mean is take your dog to the groomer. They have special fur dyes and polishes for their nails, et cetera. And they can actually do interesting haircuts so that the costume is something that is part of the grooming process. I have a friend out there who I know listens to the show. Hi, Sweet Pea. She's a black dog, and her mom is going to have her groomed into a Rhodesian Ridgeback. I guess it's a Rhodesian Ridge Black. I don't know. But she's going to actually have like that little channel running down her back to groom her. I guess she'll use some mousse as well to have it stick up there, cut the rest of her nice and short. So she's actually, you know, she's cross-dressing as a different breed. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a cute idea. I've seen dogs groomed into lion cuts, and I've seen snakes that they've been able to groom by having different levels of the scissors and the buzzers take down the coat in different areas, and then they color it so it looks like a snake that's wrapped around the dog. You've seen some of these pictures. Ask your groomer. It may cost a little bit more, but it probably wouldn't be that much more than the cost of a costume, and it is something that your dog will be wearing until it grows out or until the fur dye kind of dissolves off of the dog's body, and it's really very cute. And one of the cutest things that I've seen is theme costumes. When people dress up and it's them and their dog. And so, for example, one of them will be Samson and the dog will be Delilah. Or, you know, sometimes it's ketchup and mustard. I love those theme costumes. Those are really cute. Those usually take a lot of creativity if you're going to make them on your own, or you could go to any type of a Halloween store and probably get some kind of a matching costume. I think it's always cute when the dog is the angel and the owner is the devil, because after all, there's no such thing as bad dogs, right? The next thing I want to discuss with you is all about trick-or-treating. You know, you're going to have a lot of trick-or-treaters coming to the door, and you may think that that constant stream of neighborhood children dressed as superheroes and aliens is cute, but the dogs are probably going to be in a heightened and perpetual state of arousal, because that unrelenting doorbell ringing is going to drive them crazy. They're your protectors, and they're going to be barking, and then you're going to be yelling at them. So I really would suggest that you curtail the dog's anxiety and potential dar dashing when they run out the door, and maybe even that uncharacteristic nip or bite from your dog that they will probably feel like doing as a result of this. Do them a favor. Safely seclude them in a room far removed from the hubbub of the holiday. Put on some soothing music. Give them a favorite chew toy. And every once in a while, stop in and reassure them that they're being good dogs and that they, in fact, would really prefer to be in that room than out with everybody else. Now, I know some of you are still going to allow your dogs to trick-or-treat with the kids or be out at your trick-or-treat party. Just be careful then that when you open the door for the trick-or-treaters, make sure that your dog doesn't dash out the door, as I mentioned, and just in case, make sure that they're wearing current ID or that your microchip is up to date with your most current phone number. I always prefer the cell phone number just in case you go out. So you want to make sure that they have up-to-date identification. Just don't keep your pets outside in the yard. There, believe it or not, have been reports of pranksters who tease, injure, stolen, and even done worse to pets on Halloween. That's especially true for cats and especially for black cats. A few weeks ago, we were talking about cats with Noel Rosen, the cat protector, and black cats aren't even allowed to be adopted by some animal welfare organizations around this time of the year because people do terrible things to them as part of satanic rituals. Just please keep your pets inside and do not subject them to what's going on outside. Ditto for accompanying the kids on their trick-or-treat outings. You know, if you're going out with your children, you would think, well, yeah, I could probably hold on to the dog and the kid at the same time. But if something happens, you know that you're going to be protecting your child, and the dog might have a hard time being kept calm when it sees all the strange sounds and noises that are going on. So make sure that you keep your dog away from the trick-or-treating as well. One word of warning that I really want to get across to you is to keep the decorations that your pets could chew on, like streamers or fake spider webs, wires, cords from electric decorations, keep them out of reach, because if your pet chomps down on a Halloween decoration, they could choke, become ill, they could, you know, they could electrocute themselves. It's not good. So keep them away from cords and decorations, and especially the lighted candles or jack-o'-lanterns where they could knock them over accidentally by their wagging tail or bolting away from something. Not only could your pet start a fire, but they could severely burn themselves in the process. So those are some of the ways that I would like you to consider having fun with your pet on Halloween without having any of the worries that go along with it. Those are fun and safe tips for you. I want to remind everybody that we do have in Phoenix, Arizona, we do have coming up the first annual Top Dog Eileen Proctor Halloween Party. And that's on Sunday, October 30th between 4 and 8 p.m. It's at the Villa La Paz Training Center on the northwest corner of 32nd Street and Shea. Dogs are free, although they must be social, up to date on shots, and on a leash at all times. Kids under 5 are free. I'd like them to be social, up to date on shots, and on a leash at all times, too. No, only kidding. Kids under 5 are free. Kids 6 to 12 are only $5. Adults, $10. And if you mention that you heard about this on Fervently Speaking and the Top Dog sent you, $2 off of every adult admission. It's going to be safe indoor and outdoor trick-or-treating for the two-leggeds and the four-leggeds alike. We're going to have games, prizes, costume contests. We have a professional photographer there. We're going to have Cow Dreams Photography. Michelle Pelberg is going to be there snapping all of the adorableness that we can muster up for her. We're going to have raffles and so much more. For additional information, you can give me a call at 602-867-3647 or visit my website at ferventlyspeaking.com. That's F-U-R, ferventlyspeaking.com. Scroll to the bottom of the page and click on the Halloween graphic. You'll get all the information that you need. I do hope that I'll see you there because it is going to be a doggone fun and fur-filled time. And I have to cut this episode of Fervently Speaking short because I am going to be mixing up a batch of those pumpkin patch dog biscuits so that I can serve them to all my guests on Sunday. So I hope that you found this to be an interesting show. If you have any suggestions for future Fervently Speakings, please email me at topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com, and I will do my best to incorporate that into the programming. If you have anything that you'd like to discuss with me on this topic or any other, again, you can email me, topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com. And if I don't get a chance to speak with you or see you at the Halloween party on Sunday, I'm wishing you and your pets a very fun and safe Halloween. And I'll see you again here on Fervently Speaking in 2 weeks, Hump Day, Wednesday, the second and fourth Wednesday of the month, Fervently Speaking on blogtalkradio.com, the Boomer and the Babe station. All of you take care, and remember, adoption is the best option. Have a great couple of weeks.
You've been listening to Fervently Speaking with your host, Top Dog Eileen Proctor. To find out more about today's topic or to suggest one for a future show, email topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com. That's topdog@ferventlyspeaking.com. And be sure to tune in every second and fourth Wednesday of the month for another fun and fur-filled episode right here on the Boomer and the Babe Network on Blog Talk Radio. Fervently Speaking is a production of Boomer and the Babe Incorporated. Contact them at boomerandthebabe.com.